96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. He wants to be Maryland's next governor. Tonight we are talking to Prince George's County Executive Rushen Baker about politics and a whole lot more. Lots on his plate right now and lots to ask him about. He's in studio tonight. And if you have a question or comment, give us a call at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. You can, of course, follow me on Twitter at HFisher, WHUR, or Daily Drum, WHUR. Mr. Baker, thanks for joining me. I appreciate it.
Well, Harold, thank you for having me, as always.
Great, great. Let me get right to some major points before we get to the politics. This week, Chief Hank Stawinski and you held a press conference talking about the extended hours that the police officers on patrol will be participating in. Now, they'll be working 12-hour shifts to help stem this tide of homicides. Do you think it's going to work?
Yeah, I do. And first of all, I want the viewers to know that we're actually down homicides in Prince George's County. But what we've seen over the last couple of weeks is that, you know, we've had a spike of about, 12 within a 14-day period. And so we normally don't see them like, the bunches that we've seen, two in one night and things of that nature. So with the 12-hour shifts, we want to make sure, one, that the public knows that that we're there, and two, in some areas where we've seen some activities that can prevent this, we think the 12-hour shift will work. And so it's a tweaking of our plan already, but we do want people to know that we are down. But we want to make sure we get in front of it.
Well, down now, I don't know what has happened since Wednesday, but as of Wednesday, a year ago Wednesday, there were 50 murders in Prince George's County. This year, there were 49.
Right.
Well, so that's one. I mean, one is too many.
Well,
certainly,
exactly. Any are too many. But yeah. What we want to know is that, the overall strategy that we have for the county is working. We're actually down 4 homicides from where we were last year. But the idea is to get in front of this. And we think with the 12-hour shifts and the things that we are doing now, that at least we stay in front of the ones that we can prevent. And that's really the strategy. But I have, as I said, the men and women of our police department, our sheriff's department, and our state's attorney's office and correction are doing a great job. We just want to make sure that we're doing everything that we can so that this does not go in a bad direction, a really bad direction.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking to Prince George's County Executive Rushen Baker about all things Prince George's County. We're talking politics as well as some other things crucial not only to the county but to the state. With that said, you've been dealing with this school issue, questions about whether or not there have been some grade fixing and the like, and even the governor recently said that there should be an investigation. What is your take on this? Because we, on the inside, there have been some teachers and some administrators who have anonymously said that these things are actually happening.
Right. Well, first of all, I mean, anytime there's an allegation, we take that serious in Prince George's County, and we want to investigate it. There was an allegation that there may be some grade tampering last year. That was taken seriously. That was sent up to the state board, which is appointed by the governor. These are people not appointed by Prince George's County. They came in. They did an investigation. They didn't find anything. Once again, this year, there was what they said was not that there were grade tampering. There's a systematic countywide tampering of grade and grade fixing by Dr. Maxwell and the leadership.
To raise the graduation rate.
Raise the graduation rate, which has increased 7%. So that means there's got to be a lot of people out there who are doing this. And that means the men and women who teach our children have to be a part of this. I don't believe that. There's no indication that we've seen. I've been to the schools, and, our teachers and our principals who teach daily do a great job. They work very hard over these last you know, 3 years to get the graduation rate up. But certainly, and we said this to the governor, I mean, you know, these were brought to, you know, the governor's attention. The board is his board. You know, the state board is appointed by the governor. These are the same individuals that came in last year. But we welcome it, and I think Dr. Maxwell welcomes them coming back and looking at it. But I've seen the hard work they put in, and, you know, I believe that the report, you know, will show that this is, you know, hard work. Now, are there incidents that happen on a case-by-case basis? I think in any system you see that, but that's not what's alleged. What's alleged is there's a systematic fixing and tampering of grades from almost like what you saw in
Atlanta.
Mm-hmm. The difference, I said to people, is one, you know, in Atlanta there were bonuses attached to, you know, graduation rates. There are no bonuses here. There's no money. There's no firing. There's no hiring. And I met these teachers and I met the principals in our schools, and I can't believe that they would put their certificate of teaching in jeopardy to do this. Especially, I don't understand the reason why they would do it. In Atlanta, you could see it because, you know, there were bonuses involved.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking to Prince George's County Executive Rusher and Baker tonight. You mentioned that the governor's state board is the governor's board, but there is, I mean, an issue just reported today. Someone you appointed to the Prince George's County School Board who resigned last month, Dr. Beverly Anderson. She says in a statement that her experience and her background were not valued by the CEO, Dr. Kevin Maxwell. Have you spoken to Dr. Anderson since she's resigned?
I did. First of all, let me just clarify a couple of things. Dr. Anderson, who's done, you know, is terrific. I've known her for a number of years. She is highly sought after. That's why we put her on the board. Her term was up, you know, on the board. So she chose not to, you know, it was her decision not to to be reappointed. But, you know, I think she added a lot to Prince George's County's board. She's very smart. She worked on the board of UDC. And so, you know, were there clashes with Dr. Maxwell? Sure. I would say there were there clashes on the board, but I think her perspective, especially around reading and around math and especially around children of color, were a great contribution.
But as a boots on the ground educator, which is, you know, I don't think it's overstating, you know, the depth and breadth of her experience, you know, there were obviously some, you know, concerns about the direction of the board, and certainly she and the school system, and she's no weak link. And so
No. She was a vital part of the school system and contributed greatly. And
do you think she had a point about some of her concerns?
Well, here's what I think. I think they're always going to be – what you want is, you know, a healthy dialogue about the direction that the school system should be going in, whether, in fact, we're making the progress. That's what you want from the board and a good exchange from the leadership there, Dr. Maxwell and his team. And I think what you've seen in the improvement, not just in the graduation rates in Prince George's County over the last few years, but if you look at our fifth grade, our middle school promotion rates, if you look at the number of parents, and I always look at this factor, the number of parents who are now putting their children into our school system, because parents vote with their feet, we've increased the enrollments. Enrollments have gone up since Dr. Maxwell has been there. So I think, you know, our expansion of our arts program, our languages, there are some great things that happen in our school system, certainly around math. You know, we've seen improvement. Do we need to continue to make greater improvements? Yes. Are we where we want to be? No, not by a long shot. Should we always make sure and ask difficult questions of the people running the school system? Yes. And should we hold them accountable? Certainly. And we'll continue to do that. And I'm sure the next person that we put on the board will do the same thing.
Do you have anybody in mind?
We do. We do. We're vetting out a candidate now who will come with, you know, a great deal of experience around you know, teacher quality and achievement, especially among students of color. But what I've said to any of the people I interview is I expect you to be, you know, not just sitting there simply rubber stamping what Dr. Maxwell wants, but to ask tough and difficult questions, because that's, you know, what we put you on there for.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking to Prince George's County Executive Rusher and Baker about politics and more. Let's go to the phone lines. John calling from Forestville. John, thanks for calling. What's on your mind? John, are you there? John, give me a call back if you can. Sandy calling from Forestville. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind? Sandy?
Can yes.
You, yeah, go right ahead, please.
Hi, I just hello to you, Harold.
Hi.
And Mr. Baker. How are you?
Hello.
I live in Forestville as well, and we have a concern. Where I live, Walters Lane and Hillmar. I want to say when Jack Johnson was still in office, he held like a press conference maybe about the crime and cracking down. Mm-hmm. And it's gotten pretty bad. I mean, especially right at that where Walters Lane and Hillmar intersect, you see, you know, groups of guys standing there. You know they're not doing stuff they're supposed to. When the police cruisers come and sit in the parking lot, you don't see them. They just move further down Hillmar. Right. If the police are in at Hillmar, they move back to, and they just move from cluster to cluster. And it's like people don't even, when we come out of our development, we don't even want to drive that way. We want to drive the other way because it's so bad. And so, you know, with this whole crackdown on crime, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what can be done, but it's really, really bad.
Well, thank you for the call. What I can do is I'll certainly have a conversation with the police chief about that particular area. But that's one of the reasons we're going to the 12-hour shifts, and we're doing it, and we're not setting an end date when it will happen, when it will go away, because we don't want to let people who are doing bad things know when they can start, you know, clustering around again. The idea is to have enough of the officers so that we're not overtaxing them, but we have enough so you're not pushing, you know, bad activity down the road. And so certainly that's one of the areas I'll be talking to the chief about. We know we're focusing on the Suitland, Forestville, District Heights area.
Right, because there's been a lot, I mean, in the news. My son came through here. He said, man, he doesn't live over here anymore. He recently moved. He said, there's a lot of stuff happening over here. I'm like, I know. Something's got to be done.
And, you know, one of the things we're also trying to do is work with the apartment complexes that are there. And, you know, to talk about how we can do security a lot better together, and that's going to be important. But you know, I certainly will make sure that Chief Stawinski, you know, looks at that area. I know personally he's going around to these areas where you're going to see heightened presence to make sure that, like I said, we're not pushing, you know, crime from one end of that area to the other.
Okay. Thank you so much for calling, Sandy.
Thank
I appreciate
you so much.
It. Sure
thank
thing.
You so much, Harold.
Sure. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. John calling from Forestville. Thanks for calling, John. What's on your mind?
Yes, this is John.
Go right ahead.
I'd like to piggyback on what the lady just stressed about the Forestville area right there and the guys doing drugs and selling drugs in that area. And it seems like we only get police there when something like that happened. We just had someone killed there last week, mm-hmm. and that's a lot of police presence. But in the next 2 or 3 weeks, that president is going to leave. And we really need to get something done about that area and also the Suitland area.
Yes.
Something that they can do.
Go right ahead, Mr. Baker.
I just want to let you know, I'm right now texting the Chief Stawinski about these concerns around there. But what I want to say to you is the whole idea of the 12-hour shift and not giving an end date is just so that doesn't happen, that we see it over a 24-hour period and then we go away and the activity returns. The idea is that the presence will be there until we see activity systematically change. But I'm certainly texting him now just to remind him to inspect those areas himself. But you should see a continuous presence. If you don't, please call our 311. You know, for emergencies, call 911. But to report, you know, things that you a light out or gatherings of things of that nature, not emergency at the time. If you call our 311, we can make sure that we can handle those.
Okay. Thank you so much, John. I only have a minute left before the break. I want to get this question in. By the way, Anthony, Rhonda, and James, stay with us because we are going to talk to you. This may be a technical thing. It may be a question for the chief. What's the difference between 12-hour shifts for an officer and a 10 or an 8-hour shift for an officer? What would make the difference in an extra 4 or 2 hours?
It means that the presence there would be longer. And so it gives us more man and women hour in those areas. So that's why you shift to, because they come on those, you know, the 10-hour ones, you don't have as many people. You have overlap. So overlap gives us more bodies. And that's why, you know, he wants to go to the 12-hour shift.
Okay. Need to take a break. When we come back, more questions for Prince George's County Executive Rusher and Baker. We're going to talk a little politics. We're going to talk about MGM. We're going to talk about jobs and other issues. So please, if you have a question, stay on the line. Anthony, Rhonda, and James, you're next. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. We'll be back in just a few seconds.